Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're starting a new sermon series. Matter of fact, we just started it here on Sunday, and it is in the book of Acts, a verse-by-verse study, pretty much so, through the book of Acts. This first sermon is an intro to Acts, and I've entitled it Infallible Proofs. That is the word that Luke, who wrote Acts, now this is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, and the person he wrote this to, some prominent person named Theophilus, he called these things infallible proofs. So that's what I'm calling this sermon, some infallible proofs. There's infallible proof so that we will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and is the Son of God and is the Savior of the world. That's where we're starting here today. This will wrap up tomorrow. We'd love to see you at Bible study here tonight. We are in the book of 1 Peter, 6 o'clock tonight. I invite you guys to attend our service. Much more casual on a Wednesday night. We roll out the dry erase board. It's open for questions and answers. Answers, I hope. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to be. The Facebook feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock as well if you're unable to attend. But I invite you to attend. We would love to see you. Okay, we're in the book of Acts. This is Infallible Proofs, an introduction to Acts.
Boy, the visitors are really in for it today when they find out our church runs until 1 o'clock. I'm only kidding, though I do have a long sermon today. Infallible Proofs, that's where we're at here today. Introduction to the book of Acts. I'm not going to read any from that, but sock that away in your Bibles. The book of Acts is a historical book. Remember that as we move forward. The book of Acts is a historical book, never again to be duplicated. You can turn the dial on the radio when you're hearing this here coming up on the radio here next week. But the truth is the truth, regardless of if you approve it or not, it's still truth. Otherwise, sell, sell, sell. If you don't believe what I just said, how many realtors do we have in here today? One over there, right? Where's Cheryl when I need her? Sell your house, sell your business, and sell your possessions. If you don't agree with me that Acts is a historical book, sell all that you have and lay it at the feet of an apostle. And since there's no more apostles, you can bring it on now. I'm really going to get in trouble with those visiting. Bring it here and give it to me. No, the Bible says to lay it at the feet of an apostle. And we're going to see that to be an apostle, you had to be what? You had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see later on when people had a problem with this. It's like we're going to get to chapter 5 when two people sold their house. Let's say they sold their house for $300,000. And I come up to them and you say to me, I sold my house, Pastor, for $200,000. And I said, you sold it for $200? And they said, yep, for $200. So, wham, down goes the first person dead. Then his wife comes in later, just had her nails done. And the pastor says to the wife, "How much did you sell your house for $200,000 or not?" And she says, "Yep, for $200,000. Wham, down goes the wife, and they had a double funeral. Those are the kind of things that took place here on the birth of the church. Now, when I say that, you guys whisper to each other, or you at least think to yourself, well, that's preposterous. That was then. This is now. Hello. My point exactly. People don't, as far as I know, drop dead for lying to the Holy Spirit anymore like that. As far as I know. In this sermon series, we're going to look at the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ and the arrival and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the initial spreading of the gospel. None of those first two things I mentioned can ever be duplicated again. This is key for you to have a proper understanding of the church today and how certain errors have crept into the church because people misunderstand that the birth of the church and the arrival of the Holy Spirit obviously has already happened. You see, instead of the birth of the church and waiting for Pentecost, our closest association today, if you want to compare the church of today with anything, is compare the church of today with the lukewarm church in the book of Revelation. So instead of waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit, we need to consider the words at the end of the New Testament, not the beginning. And at the end of the New Testament, you read the words, "Wake up," he says. That's where we're at. If you want to put the thumb on where we are today, we're not going to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, time is short. You better wake up. That's where we're at today. Wake up. And if you refuse to wake up, he says, I will come upon you like a thief in the night. And I will steal all my valuables out of this world and leave the rest behind. If you want to compare this church age to anything, then compare it to Hebrews 9:28, which says Jesus is coming a second time apart from sin to all of us who look for him. Hebrews 9:28. It's not Pentecost we look for. We're looking for the return of Jesus Christ, not the birth of the church. It's key to have the correct understanding in the book of Acts as we go through. Because if you don't get that right, then you'll never understand the Bible correctly, and you'll certainly have a faulty understanding of the book of Acts and a faulty misunderstanding of your power and your authority. So here we go, the book of Acts, the birth of the church, how the message about the Son of God spread from Jerusalem and Israel to around the world by men that were known as apostles, which is the Greek word for emissary or sent ones. Very, very common word. We're going to see the monumental arrival of none other than the person of the Holy Spirit of the living God, who is going to use men and women to transform this evil world and to spread hope and truth everywhere. So again, let's get into this book. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Without your guidance and direction and insight, we'll never understand. Lord, we come to you with open ears, open minds, open hearts. Speak to us through your word, where we know that you speak. Speak the truth of your word. Thy word is truth. Lead us and guide us. Help us to be doers of everything that we hear as well, not just hearers. Help us to put into practice everything you revealed us in the coming days and weeks and months as we gather together here in the book of Acts. Lead us and guide us and continue to transform us into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go here, Acts chapter 1. We're also going to look at the last few words of Luke chapter 24. Because Acts is the sequel to Luke. Acts 1:1. The former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. That's the name of this sermon here today. Infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So again, the book of Acts, written by Luke, is the sequel to the gospel of Luke. Let's read the last page there. If you guys would please turn with me to Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 46. One little paragraph there we're going to read. So keep a finger there in Acts 1:1. Okay, here we go. Luke 24, 46. Then Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and arise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So there's the ministry and there's the calling. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of Jesus to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance just means leave it all behind you. Metanoia, change your mind. Do a 180, as we'd say in the Air Force. Go, leave it behind, and go in the opposite direction. That's what repent means. And remission would be forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. That's the message. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. All right, this is the key to understanding. Never to be duplicated again. These guys were witnesses. Better yet, these guys were eyewitnesses. Kind of like the eyewitness news. You know how newscasters always have an agenda? Well, these guys got an agenda too. Jesus Christ is the agenda. It's eyewitness. The book of Acts, complete name is the Acts of the Apostles. We really should call it the Acts of the Eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. The Acts of the Eyewitnesses. Now, Peter would write some 30 years later, 2 Peter 1:16, he says, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Okay, back to the end of Luke here. The command is followed by a promise, verse 49. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass when he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And that's where Luke left off. And that's how it was 2,000 years ago. And that's where we stand today. But this is just the beginning of the story of the birth of the church. Now, back to Acts 1:1, if you guys would turn back there, back to where we started. Acts 1:1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, which would be lover of God, right? Theos and Phileo. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. We just looked at that, right? Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, so Luke told this high-ranking person, Theophilus, that there were many infallible proofs about who Jesus is. They were infallible because these guys saw him with their own eyes. I've been showing you these verses here. That's what made them apostles, to be an apostle. And that's why I say it's preposterous that you think we're still living in the book of Acts, because an apostle was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He knew the color of his eyes. They were eyewitnesses. Your Bible is brought to you by eyewitnesses, offering infallible proof to you because they knew him and they saw him. And they're sharing with you what they saw and what they knew. That's why they were apostles. Another apostle named John wrote this, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. So we've touched him, he's saying. He's witnessing to you. We've touched him. We know Jesus is real. We've touched him, you see. These guys died to give you this message. Jesus is real. We've seen him. We've touched him. He's real. And this is the message we share with you. You don't have to wonder about whether or not this is true. This book was written by eyewitnesses. They knew him. They've seen him. They've touched him. And they wrote it down for us as eyewitnesses to know that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Now, two different Greek words here for see. The first is the word harao. It means to experience, to discern clearly. The second word is the word theomai, to behold. That's where our English word theater comes from. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon or gazed, like sitting in the movie theater, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen. He says it again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. We have seen, we're eyewitnesses, and we bear witness. We declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the book of Acts chronicles these eyewitnesses as the Lord Jesus sends them out. That's the word apostelos, to be sent out with a message. You're an eyewitness. You know the color of Jesus' eyes. That's the requirement for being an apostle. And they're sent out with this message that that man's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. Next up, infallible proofs. I love that. Infallible proofs. Here's my first example. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. From another eyewitness, whose name was Paul, wrote 13 of the 27 letters in this book. Infallible proofs. Now the man lost his head and died with this message, but he was an eyewitness. He said this, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brothers at once." That is 1 Corinthians 15, 6. Write it down. Over 500 people. Now, he says at once. I guess that means what it says, right? 500 people at the same time saw the man alive after he had died. He was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep, or some have passed away. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me. That's that word harao again, to see and to get it. Some people see and don't get it. This word harao means to see and perceive it. I see it, yeah, and I get it. That's Jesus. That's the Son of God. And he's still alive. Death's got no hold over him. So he says, last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. So Paul, too, was a witness, an eyewitness. And he traveled all over the world to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. These are infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're infallible. These guys died as eyewitnesses. You know, people all the time, they say, show us proof. Here's your proof. It's right here in the Bible. It's right here. The Bible is your proof. The proof is the testimony of the eyewitnesses. It holds up in court. These eyewitnesses saw a dead man who was no longer dead, praise God. But he's alive. That's big news, right? Most people don't rise up from the dead. Can we grant him that? So if you're looking for proof, read the Bible. Read your Bible. Pray for ears to hear before you read. Because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are lost and dying out here in the world. But it's the power of God to us who believe the message. Right here, this is all the proof you're going to get. It's right here that Jesus is alive. And that he's coming back again. If you don't believe God at his word, then there is nothing left for you, only separation. I mean, you have to believe God at his word, right? All right, infallible proof number two. Raising a dead person from the grave. John 11:38. Jesus approaches the tomb of someone who had been dead for 4 days. Then Jesus came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. So Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench." Or the old King James says, "By this time he stinketh." He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, and it's the same thing he said to her, he says to you and I, here today on this 15th day of February, "Did I not say to you that if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's not just for Martha, but it's for this Martha and this Paul and everyone else. Believe God at his word. So then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. Now, that was last week's sermon. Thankfulness and prayer, right? You guys remember that word from last week? What does he do? Father, I thank you. I praise you that you've heard me, and I know you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, so that they may believe that you've sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, or Lazarus, come on out, he says. And he who had died, that came out, bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. He must have looked like the mummy. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. See, that's infallible proofs. It's written down by eyewitnesses who saw this, and they wrote it down so that you would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Infallible proof number four. This is why I was hoping Captain Jim Ross was going to be here today. Infallible proof number four. Jesus pays his taxes out of the mouth of a largemouth bass. Got a couple anglers in here. Danny, our sound man back there. Captain Jim. Jesus pays his taxes. And not only that, but Peter's taxes out of the mouth of a largemouth bass. I say out of the mouth of a fish. Infallible. See, this is the proof that would have got me. Of all the other stuff, and I'm not even a fisherman. This one just slays me. When they came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and says, does your teacher not pay the taxes? And Peter said, yes. And when they come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers? Peter answered him and said, strangers. So Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. And when you had opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Now, again, that one just kills me. Go in and take your hook. Now, it's just a hook. There's no drunk monkey on it, Jim. There's no shad. There's no weedless worm hook. It's just a hook. He says, throw the hook in and take up the very first snook that you find. Open its mouth. And in it, you'll find, let's say, a 1909 VDB penny. Take it, pay off your house, pay off your boat, and send your son and daughter to college. That one just kills me.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Well, Gen Z is the least religious cohort in American history. 43% of this generation, that was born roughly between 1996 and 2012, identify as religious nuns. While there have been many reports since Charlie Kirk's assassination that indicate increased interest in religion,